Hey everyone, I'm excited to introduce to you Lionel Church, who is my dear friend. We'll get into how we met and all that, but yeah, you have such a fascinating background. I'll just read a little bit more about your experience, or kind of share with everyone a little bit about your background. You were a chief operating officer with the Food Revolution Network, and you've done everything from project management, operations management. You have your own consulting business as well to help with environmental, social governance frameworks to help improve business performance. And yeah, man, like you just lead with your heart, and we'll dig deeper into all the cool stuff that you're up to. But I'm excited to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Davidson. Yeah, we've had such like a great time in our friendship, and it's always like fruitful, interesting conversations. And yeah, I'm like honored that you invited me into this. So thank you.
I was just thinking, so for the context, for those of you who are listening who aren't familiar with Lionel, and the context of why I thought about you is because I'm in this second year of this Landmarks Team Management Leadership Program, and then every quarter we have something called Game in the Worlds where we essentially create from nothing, and it's like, oh, what do I want to focus on this quarter? And part of my journey where I'm at now is sort of this like financial independence type of world where I wouldn't say FIRE movement, because I think that that's a little bit too far, where it's a little bit too much focused on, penny pinching. But I would say I'm in this world where I think our society doesn't really teach us how to focus on personal finance, and it's like not really even taught in school. So I was like, oh, Lionel's like one of those guys I feel like that would be able to add a lot of value to the listeners. And I think you have a beautiful soul, and I think that's what I want to share with everyone as well.
Oh, thank you so much, Davidson. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a big interest of mine. And I feel like I've been pursuing that my whole career, is trying to be conscious in my relationship with money and my personal finances. So it's definitely something that I've been focused on for a long time. And yeah, happy to bring it to everyone here.
And we're in the middle of creating like what that looks like to try to get as many listeners and viewers as possible. So we'll coordinate on a date that works for both of us. So we'll dig deeper into that. But I do think that you have a lot of unique like experiences, and you've delved pretty deeply into personal development. I know when you're sharing with me your father, and then he's one of the like godfathers of this work, right? So wanted to dig a little bit deeper into that, if you're okay with sharing with us like what it was like growing up with a father who was, sort of this like figure who's like responsible for like a lot of these deep doing a lot of the inner work,
Yeah, I mean, my experience of it, so my dad, Dawson Church, he's an author and workshop leader, and he leads retreats around the United States and internationally. And he does work around meditation and trauma therapy. When I was growing up, my biggest experience was that I just experienced the intentionality that he was putting into raising me. So I had a lot of experience of him being careful and thoughtful about the words that he chose to use. One of his like greatest achievements as a parent is he was conscious of how he would respond to me when I was doing things that he like did that I shouldn't be doing. And apparently my first word, most kids, their first word is no, but my first word was yes. And this is like a mark of like parenting pride that he has. Because he was trying to find a way to take whatever I was doing and redirect the energy. So rather than stop the energy, he wanted to redirect it. And so I felt that I had a lot of I had guidance, I had support, which are these really key things. Also, because he was an author and a publisher, he was having interesting authors and thinkers and speakers over for dinner regularly.
Wow.
And so I got to hang out with a cool cast of characters as I was growing up.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's rare you meet people like yourself who I think you're not someone I would say who's like have like the herd mentality, right? Like you're very much, I hate to use the word woke because I feel like even that sometimes has its own connotations, but I think you're just very conscious and just mindful, and you're intentional with your actions, your projects, and not only who you choose to spend your time with, right? But just a lot of the projects and what you're up to in life.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've found that for whatever reason, I like to be very clear about what I'm setting out to achieve or accomplish or do. Which, I mean, I feel like that feels like sort of like, I don't know, reaching sort of terms, but it's more just that I want to have intention in the things that I'm doing. I want to be living my life and all the different aspects of it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be just getting by.
Yeah.
I want to be working towards things that I think matter. And so first it's like getting quiet inside and asking myself what matters to me. And then as I'm working in the world, I want the things that I'm working on and towards to be the things that I actually want and that I actually care about and that I think matter to myself and to my community and to society and to actually extended out as the earth itself. You know, I want to be living in a way and doing work in a way that is beneficial to the whole system.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. And it's clear, right? You're very like environmentally conscious. I remember one of the things that stood out to me is like one of the first times we hung out, I think you brought your own, like, I think we went to like a Chipotle or something like that. And then, yeah, you brought your kit, your spoon and knife and all that. And I was like, oh, like, not many of my friends do that, you know?
Hey,
oh, the same one. Yes, that's it. Yes.
Totally a different kit since the time we met. This is a cool kit that I bought in New York City from these cool women entrepreneurs. But yeah, I always carry this like in my backpack or my bag or whatever I'm bringing with me. And when I was living in New York City for those 5 years, I must have saved like probably 2,000 sets of plastic utensils.
Wow.
Over the course of those 5 years.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, imagine times like what New York has any given time has 5 million people probably, right?
Mm-hmm.
Time, like 2,000 times 5 million. Like that's a lot. That's wild. Yeah. And I thought what's interesting as well is, you have a journaling practice as well. Would you be open to sharing more about your journaling practice?
The journal.
Yeah.
I had none of this staged. It's just that like these are things that I always just keep nearby me.
Right.
So actually I've got two different sort of like books I use. I've got the personal journal and then also the business notebook. And they're like they're my duo.
Uh-huh.
And I always have them. Yeah. I don't always have them with me, but I always have them when I'm going to be working or wherever I'm staying, even when I'm traveling, like around the country, or around the world, like I don't go anywhere without them.
Mm. Yeah.
And for me, journaling is not recording everything that happened.
Right.
For me, journaling is a place of like deep inner reflection. So it's where I get clear about sometimes about my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But it's especially a place where I get clear about my thinking. So when I have fuzzy thinking or unclear thinking, or I don't know, sort of like uncertainty, I'll write. and I'm comfortable being nonsensical. And I'm comfortable, I don't know, like actually just doing anything, right? Like my journal is a like is a place of total freedom. My business notebook, on the other hand, is for like anything that's related to real structure, right? So it's where I'll write down goals. It's where I write down, I've actually like what's been really important to me in the last few years is slowing down and really getting clear about what my priorities are right now. And it's funny, I mean, I've done like different types of planning where I think about goals over periods of time, 3 months, a year, multiple years. But I really like use my business notebook for just like get identifying beyond my bigger goals, what are my priorities right now in this period of time. And I find that, they kind of change naturally on their own. And sometimes it's a matter of weeks, sometimes it's a matter of months. But once like a phase has changed, I oftentimes find myself with new priorities. And what happens is I'll feel that I'm kind of uneasy, like I don't know how to spend my time. As an entrepreneur, where I have a lot of flexibility, there's a lot of different things that I can be doing. And I've realized that when I'm not sure what to spend my time doing, it's because I'm not clear about my priorities. And that I've learned, it's been really nice to have learned that that's the trigger. And so I've got a kind of actually a habit that's developed where when I'm unclear about my priorities, then I pick up my business notebook. I slow down, I figure out what they are, and I write them down. And then I'm able to use that as my framework for this net, like that next period of time.
So what are some of your priorities nowadays, would you, if you're willing to share with us?
I'm going into a time right now where where my priorities are not super business for the next few weeks. Because I'm gonna leave, I'm about to go on a trip to Germany for 3 weeks.
Oh, very cool.
And I've been learning to speak German for the last 2 years. And this will be my first trip to Germany since I started learning to speak German.
What? Wow.
So I think my priority through the end of the year, is going to be, I don't have this written down. Because it's not super structured. It's not something I have to keep on referencing back to. But it's I'm generating leads for my business with some marketing work that I'm doing that I'll probably sell into the new year. And then I'm gonna just like experience being in Germany.
I mean, which area are you going to, multiple areas in Germany?
I'm going to fly into Berlin and then I'm going to be staying in Leipzig with one of my good friends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is
So
that close to Berlin, or how far is that away?
I think it's a 90-minute or car ride or something like
Okay.
that. It's a little southwest of Berlin.
Okay. But sounds like you'll probably be spending some time in Berlin as well, right?
I'm gonna fly in and fly out of Berlin, and maybe I'll do a weekend trip there. We'll see.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I was gonna say, if you want, I can introduce you to some of my friends in Berlin, because I Coach Hub was based in Berlin. So
Oh, wow. Okay.
yeah. So I know a
Oh,
lot
very
of
cool.
ex-coworkers that live there, and I can make, if you think that's useful.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for that, Davidson.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Yeah, your life is always interesting, right? I can always count on you for if I'm, if I want to call you, like it will all, I can always count on an interesting conversation, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and you know what? Actually, I've only you're actually a you're a standout friend in the way that you will call me. I know a lot of people, and I actually have like maintain quite a number of really strong friendships. But You have a you're like actually an outlier among people that I know in your like you won't like text ahead always and like schedule something. You'll do that too. Like that's how we did this. But you have a comfort with just like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna call Lionel. And I love that. I think that like for anyone listening, like what Davidson does there, in my experience of my friendships, like that is one of the most like powerful and valuable ways to build and maintain friendships and develop stronger friendships. And sometimes these conversations that we have, Davidson, like sometimes we've only got like 10 minutes and we're like, oh yeah, I was just in the middle of something. I gotta go. Like not in the middle, but you know, like I got something to go to. And so it's not about like a big long catch up and or like a huge check in. It's just a touch point. And I've come to really, really appreciate friendships in my life where I just have like these touch points with people. You know, it doesn't have to be like a huge thing every time we talk. So.
Yes, and I would say you're really good at those deeper, like sitting down over a beer or two and just having three, like you're good at those 3 hour conversations too, you know?
Oh yeah, those are my favorite. That's my lifeblood right there.
So I do think thank you for that acknowledgement. It's funny because it's something that I do. And sometimes like I'm like almost like bitter. I'm not with you. I would say like certain people where I'm like, oh, I feel like I always have to be the one that is more putting more of the effort in, right? But I do think it is nice to hear that because like sometimes I'm just like, oh, like do they even care, you know? But with you, like it's obvious that you care, like because you actually verbally communicate like, oh, like I appreciate it, you know? Whereas with other people, sometimes it feels like it's being like taken for granted in a way.
Okay,
You know,
got it. Okay,
but yeah, it that's interesting because it's actually one of the things that I'm like trying to do less of, but actually in service of me, and I think with key people like yourself, like yes, I'm still gonna be intentional always, but I think with certain people where, it feels like I'm almost like oh, I'm trying too hard, then I'm like okay, like if this is not organic, you know, so.
Totally. Well, I mean, one is that like just the like reaching out to people is a friendship skill. But then also, I mean, what I'm hearing and what you're saying is that you're getting a little bit deeper and wanting to be intentional about the way that you exercise it too. And you're paying attention, it sounds like too, to yeah, like what you're feeling. And what's happening in the relationship between you and the other person?
And I think, and you would get this too. I think because we are curious people that are continuously digging deeper into different thresholds, I do think we do have, when we do catch up, there's just a lot more, quote unquote, and this might seem kind of judgmental, but just substance behind our conversations, right? Whereas, like with some people, like it's sort of very like surface level, you know? So it's sort of like, I feel like with us, we can talk about like deeper topics. Because our passions and our interests vary across so many spectrums, you know, so it does feel like a lot more, there's a lot more areas we can go in our conversations.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. I mean, when you've got like, you know, a lot of like life and energy and doing things, it's fun to share that. And And we have a good vibe that oftentimes happens for us, right? Where we're both like really doing things. And so there's a lot to share that's, you know, wonderful on both sides.
That's a fair that's good point, right? Because we both in a given, let's say it's been like 6 or 9 months since we've last like really caught up. When we do catch up, there's so much to update on, like even Germany, right? I'm sure once you kind of go come back, I would love to hear about like hey, like what I would love to ask you, you know, what can Americans learn from Germans that they do well that you would like to bring into the practice and the culture here, you know?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great question. I'm gonna be thinking about that question now. as I'm there. That's awesome. I'm
Well,
actually
I
gonna
do.
like you just casually asked that question off the top of your head right now, but I feel like that question is gonna actually like be really baking for me. And I'm actually going to be like looking at my experiences in Germany through that lens
Love
now,
that.
Davidson.
Well, and I do hear that Berlin is also it's so different than the rest of Germany as well, that it is very like open-minded and it's very diverse and it's just like it is a lot different. So I'm sure even within that, right, is it's like its own bubble from what I hear from everyone.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, I think Berlin, you know, it's Germany's New York City.
Right.
And it's not yet. Yeah, I think it's not, it's, I don't think it's, yeah. Anyways, I don't have to characterize it per se. New York City, all I'll say is incredible. And I love New York City.
Yeah.
But Berlin has that feeling of being the really like internationally connected hub of Germany.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was surprised to see like diversity. I'm Vietnamese, or my parents were born in Vietnam, and when I went there, I was surprised to see so many Vietnamese restaurants there. Like it was like a lot of surprising things about Berlin. I found out is because they really welcome refugees, and there was a time where they really needed like labor, so they just opened up their borders to everyone. So it ends up being a very diverse city because of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I'll look for the Vietnamese restaurant when I'm in Berlin.
It's everywhere. Like it's hard to miss. But yeah, I think because I'm from the lens of a Vietnamese person, I'm like, wow, there's like Vietnamese people everywhere here. Cool, man. Well, I'm curious. You know, it sounds like you've worked for like, how do you go about choosing like your time and your partnerships, right? It sounds like you partner on a lot of different initiatives and you consult for a lot of different businesses. And I'm sure as you get older, you're even more picky with like where you choose to spend your time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. I am. Yeah, that's a really nice question. I mean, I personally am, I'm very relationship driven. So I've really built my career around like doing work with entrepreneurs that I love and support, and whose vision and mission and the work they're doing, I find it important in the world. In some sort of like a deeper holistic way. So I went to the University of California, Santa Cruz, and I got an economics degree, but I also took a social change class, and I got clear during that time of my life that I really wanted to do the work of helping to build socially responsible and environmentally sustainable businesses. And I had this like vivid vision while I was in that social change class of doing this work like over and over again, helping build companies that are really like the companies of the future, the companies that we need. That are going to, like, through their actions, be addressing, taking climate action and addressing addressing social problems, both with employees and in their communities. And in that class, independent of having this dream and vision, one of the presenters in that class was Ocean Robbins. And I heard his message doing social change. He was leading a social change nonprofit at the time, and his environmental message. And he was like, PS, or like, not PS, in the thing, he kind of casually mentioned that his father was John Robbins. And I was reading his dad's book at that time, one of his dad's books, the book called The Food Revolution. And I, Yeah, so I ended up doing volunteer work with Ocean's nonprofit. Yes, is called. And then Ocean stepped back from the nonprofit like about a year later after I'd been doing that volunteer work and passed it on to someone else and came and spoke to me about wanting to build a social enterprise business where he was going to do build a business around this work his dad had done. That work is how food connects with sustainability, personal health, and ethics in all sorts of ways, like the way that farm workers are treated, for instance. Yeah. And so for me, that was just like an infectious vision. Infectious is a pretty terrible term. We all in our culture need to find
Nowadays,
another way to describe that, right? But I felt that the things I was most passionate about at that time were reducing CO2 emissions and being a Californian, improving fresh water use, right? Because fresh water is such an issue that we're going to be facing for the rest of our lives. And not only in California, but around the world, but we've really felt it acutely in California. And that motivated me for the next 7 years working with Food Revolution Network, Ocean Robbins building Food Revolution Network, is that I knew that the work that we were doing, this educational work, was helping, hundreds of thousands of people gain deeper education and learn about ways that they could actually improve their health, improve environmental sustainability, and actually create a more ethical, world for everyone. So I felt proud of that work. And I think that's really what guides me in picking who I've worked with as clients. And you know what? Clients feels like a really hollow word to me, actually. Because the feeling that I have about it is, I've got this one life. And when I'm choosing to spend my time during this life that I have to help someone build something, that is not nothing. That like it's one of the most sacred things that I feel that I can do. And you listen, I mean, for anyone that's listening to this, like our time is incredibly valuable. And what we choose to do with it, I think is sacred. Or it can be, or at least it can be seen that way, or we can experience it that way. And so I want to be giving my, I want to be contributing my time to collaborate with people where we have a shared vision and we're working towards things that really matter.
That's awesome. I think it's a good reminder because many people think that it's impossible to have it all, right? Like have something you actually enjoy doing that's purposeful, that gives back to the community while actually making money, right? While actually having there's a market need in society will actually pay you what you're worth. And then something that you're actually good at, right? I think if you have all three, then the ikigai, then that's ideal.
I mean, everything I just said is true, and at the same time, people might be surprised to hear that I love business and businesses. Because businesses, the way that I see it, do the work that needs to be done. Businesses organize people, and capital and land and all and government resources. I mean, businesses are the coordination tool that we use to get work done. important work that we need done. So businesses have caused a lot of environmental destruction,
yeah,
harm. But businesses are also business. It's very flexible. I mean, they've done so in part inside the context that society and governments have given them.
Mm-hmm.
And, but businesses have also made humanity comfortable, prosperous, well-fed. And so, you know, there's tremendous positives that are coming from, yeah, from business and private enterprise. So I'm supportive of that. And I just want to work towards a world in which the economy, the whole economy, is operating inside the limits of the earth and is supporting people. And I think we absolutely can do that. A great book I want to reference here is The Donut Economy by Kate Raworth. And the concept is very much what I just spoke to. We want to be living, I think, building the economy in such a way that it's good for the earth and it's good for people.
Wow. That's it kind of reminded what you're speaking about reminds me of, I'll never forget this. I went to like a Tony Robbins conference, Date with Destiny, where he classified, there's like different types of people in the world. Right. And this, like the way he did it, I was like, oh, I'll never forget this. He called it like the green folks are like very much about like saving the environment. They're like very socially conscious people, like people that typically work for nonprofits, people that are doing good in the world. Right. And he classified the orange people as like the business builders, right? Like the entrepreneurs, the one that are like, you know, kind of like leaning towards capitalism, right? So he classified all these different people, and he had, in the way he had it, was like the people that were arguing with each other. It was very exaggerated, right? So it was like you can clearly see how righteous everyone was being and how right everyone wanted to be. But at the end of that 5-hour experiment, you kind of left, you're like, oh, each of us play a part in this world, right? You can't have one, you can't just have the whole world, just can't be just one. It has to be all these together, kind of build this, the world that we live in, you know? So it was just interesting to hear that, the way he described it. And I was like, oh, okay. I could see how, cause I would say I was like one of those, like at the time when I was taking the course, I felt like I was one of those green people, but in my righteousness, in my like morals and stuff like that, I was pushing away like 95% of the world because I thought I was better than, because I thought I was enlightened, you know, and I discounted that, like you said, like, you know, a lot of the orange people, like, that's why I do have a house. That's why, you know what I mean? Like, that's why I don't have to worry about, you know, like I'll be fine, right? There's medicines that I can get, a vaccine, so I don't die. Like there's some good, obviously, when it comes to like the manufacturing, the production, right? So, thanks for sharing that. I love it. I love that you're one of the few people I know that is, you know, thoughtful in understanding, trying to understand someone else's perspective instead of being so quick to judge and quick to give the answer, you know?
Thanks. Yeah. I do my best when I can.
Yeah. Well, and so I'm curious, like you've built this life that's like, you know, more entrepreneurial, where you're consulting, you have a lot of collaborators and business partners. Like how does one create a life where like you can just up and leave and move to Germany for, I don't know, how long are you going to be in Germany for?
3 weeks.
3 weeks, right? Like it's I would say not the average person doesn't just like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, move from Vermont to California and then I'm gonna go live in Germany for 3 weeks, right? Like how does one create that life?
How does one create any life, Davidson? creating a life is a crazy journey. I've been committed to doing work that is fully remote for a long time. So the pandemic was a really surreal experience because everyone started doing what I had already been doing for a decade. I helped one organization actually make the transition too. They had to shift their conferences from being online, you know, from being in person to online. I mean, there are a lot of principles that are working me in my life. And one of them is having flexibility around both my when I work and like where I am. So I've chosen my work and built my career around being able to do that. Also, when I wanted to buy my first home, and I wanted to do it in such a way that I could still travel and I could still live wherever I want. And it wasn't a financial drain on me at all. So I, with all of those sort of criteria, that led me to the perspective of more real estate investing, rather than just a single family home purchase for me.
Right.
So when I made my first purchase, I spent some time, first a month and some years really learning how that field works. Biggerpockets.com for anyone that like is interested in that. It's the best community out there. It's so vibrant. I don't even think there are really any competitors out there. That is the community of real estate investors in the United States.
They have that podcast, right?
Yep, their podcasts are incredible.
Yeah, I started listening to them ironically like a month ago.
Nice. That's great. They're very cool. And so I ended up purchasing a multifamily building as a personal residence and living there. And that just makes sense and works for me. 'Cause I have a home. I can go back there anytime. It's furnished, beautiful. I have a basement. I can keep stuff. No storage units in my life.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is rented out and I have some passive income from it.
And it seems like you're a minimalist, right? Would you say like you don't have like a lot of stuff that you keep, right? It seems like.
Yeah, you know, I've done what's practical to me, and I probably thought of minimalism and thought of myself as a minimalist maybe at some point. Mm-hmm. That whole concept has sort of like left for me. But other people describe me as a minimalist.
Compared to me, you're very much a minimalist.
Yeah, so I think I am a minimalist, but not as like a philosophy, right. Just in the way that I live.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I would say like compared to my friends, like you're definitely a minimalist.
Yeah, cool. That's great.
Yeah,
I mean, I want to have freedom, and so like I can't be bound down by
stuff.
Too much stuff.
Yeah,
unless again, like in my with my building, my apartment is rented out on a medium-term basis right now to traveling nurses.
Right.
And so I love owning all of those things and have it be part of my life and a place that I can spend time at. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, I'm also, you know, it's also part of the one of my businesses, and somebody else lives in that space. And those are those are their things to use for the time that they're there. So I love that, like, those things belong to that house.
Right.
They're mine. I own them. I'm responsible for them. Yeah, it's my stuff. But it really, it belongs to that house. And I'm still free to go be where I want and do what I want.
I love that. I'm hearing freedom as a theme across all this, right? Career-wise, time management-wise, like just a real intentionality in creating like the life you actually want in a mindful way.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
That's awesome. And I'm curious about, so you were in Brooklyn, like what were some of like your takeaways living in Brooklyn, right? Because that's a lot different than where you were in Rutland, Vermont.
Yeah, totally. And a lot different than the Bay Area, California, too.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, which is where I grew up.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, New York City changed me.
Yeah.
Before I moved to New York City, I didn't get New York City. I didn't get it.
Right.
A lot of people love the idea of New York City and they get it and they want to move there. I was the opposite. I like was kind of like, oh, New York City. God, yeah. It's like so big and sprawling.
Yeah.
And it's like hard but living in New York City completely changed my understanding of what New York City is. And it really improved me. And I developed love for New York City. So New York City it's diverse in a way that's hard for people to really grasp. Like people think in the Bay Area, people think of San Francisco as diverse or Oakland, but it's just on a really different scale. So like one statistic that I'm always really struck by is that in New York City, 50% of the workforce, people that actually work in New York City, were born outside of the United States.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
Yeah. And New York City is not predominantly like from anywhere.
Right.
New York City is truly a melting pot of the world.
Yeah.
So every group of people from every place and every subculture that exists in like almost any society, like, is in New York City.
Yeah.
And people find each other. People congregate. And so, yeah, there's sort of like, there are cultural cliques and niches. You walk down the street and you can hear so many different languages being spoken. And New York City, like the people that are custodians of the city of New York City, also have this like in love for the city and creating a place that really works for everyone.
Yeah.
So there's sort of like an, I feel like an integrity to the, I don't know, to the whole, society or system, there. And yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Beautifully said. You were able to articulate, sometimes it's hard, like you said, it's hard to describe New York City, right? It's like diverse is one of the words I use as well. But like you said, it's not only like diversity of like, you know, race and gender. And I think it's like diversity of everything, diversity of thought, diversity of just experiences and where people come from and everyone brings their own flavor, their own flair to New York City. Right. I miss it, which I'm actually really excited to for fortune, I'll be going back to New York City because working remotely, quite honestly, like I was missing some of that like excitement, right? Like,
yeah, sure.
Yeah. So cool, man. Well, Lino, I just want to acknowledge you for like just your brilliant mind, your friendship, your heart, your warmth, your care, your curiosity. You're an incredible dude, and I'm really grateful for our friendship.
Oh, thank you, Davidson. Yeah, I really appreciate you too. And like, I keep on seeing how you like really bring people together. You're very connecting. Like, and I feel like you are sort of the way that like social networks are built, you sort of like have the ability to create a social network and like cause it to branch out and grow. You've got sort of a remarkable ability, and I think it's really helpful. I think it's something that makes your whole community stronger, more interesting, better. And so it's cool to be part of part of this like this network of connection through you.
Aww.
And and I appreciate you having the curiosity and the interest to ask me about what I'm doing and share our conversation too. It's awesome.
Yeah, I think that, so many takeaways from this conversation, but I think if anyone, I would say, just do something that makes you happy is one of my takeaways from this conversation. Like, actually be intentional, journal about like the things that light you up, the things that bring you joy, the moments that you'll treasure, and sort of like what legacy you want to leave behind. I think that's important. I think so many of us do what our parents want us to do, our spouses, and what society wants us to do. And I think it's great to have folks like yourself who are living it. And of course, we all have our ups and downs, right? I'm sure. But I think because of your mindset and just your so many lived experiences, like you can honestly say like, okay, like I've lived a pretty awesome life, and I think that's my main takeaway from our conversation.
Cool. Yeah, I like it. That's great.
All right, brother. We'll have fun in Germany, and I'm sure we'll stay in touch.
All right. Thank you, Davidson.